That's what I'm going to speak about, the power of prayer. And I'm going to do a song about prayer first. And actually, it was put into practice early this morning because I got a phone call from my son-in-law and my little granddaughter they had to take to the hospital. She was playing and she fell and hit her head. And I'm assured she's okay. The people in triage have seen her and everything seems to be fine. Now they're waiting to see the regular doctor. And so she seems to be fine and hopefully we hook up later on. So with that all said, and like I said, I'll be speaking of prayer and I ask for your prayer. So we're going to open up in, I think it's 460 in your hymnals. I spoke briefly at a rally a couple years ago. I played a couple tunes on the guitar. And like I said, I play every week at the old folks' home. So, you know, they're old and they're a little slow. So when you play, it's da, 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 da. And like, I started playing, and you guys are going da, 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 da. I'm like, whoa! And I'm trying to catch up. That was a challenge. Okay, what a friend we have in Jesus. I believe it's 460 in your book. I tell the old folks to sing, and their goal is to cover up my voice. And I sound like a bullfrog. Okay? So, hasn't been too successful recently. We've lost a few of the members, so the decibels are kind of going down. So. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our saints and Christians.
Take it to the Lord in
love the words to this song. You know, all these old songs, there's so much doctrine and blessings in them. It's incredible, you know. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And I was challenged, like I said, earlier this morning when I got the phone call. Well, it wasn't early, about 40 minutes ago, actually. And right away, I'm thinking in the flesh, well, I got to come to the chapel, but I should go to emergency room instead of taking it to the Lord in prayer right away. You know, I don't know about you folks, but I do that, you know. Then thank God the Holy Spirit straightens me out. And thinking, you know, your way is better. So this is titled The Power of Prayer. And we know this, those who are walking with the Lord, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and principalities. Thus, the weapons of our warfare cannot be carnal. Prayer is the most potent weapon that we possess in our spiritual arsenal, and by it we can pull down the stronghold of the enemy. Prayers can be expressed in three basic forms: worship, petition, and intercession, with variations within each form. Now, I know our favorite prayer is worship. Okay? The first basic form of prayer is worship, and it's a spontaneous result from the conscious awareness of God. Okay? It's not like intercessory prayer or, you know, as we're going to find out later, that's a bit of work and everything, you know. We need to collect information. You know, we have to compute it in our heads and then pray it. But worship comes right from the heart. I mean, how many times, like, we'll see something great, you know, something that's a blessing, or talk to another fellow Christian and that, and, oh, Lord, thank you. You know, so many things we need to be thankful of, and it just hits us right away. It's a knee-jerk reaction. And you know what he has done for us, and that's why I love coming to, you know, the breaking of the bread at 9:30, because it's all about what Jesus has done for us. It's remembering the Lord, and just hearing all the saints stand up and pour out their heart through scripture, through song, through a little maybe soliloquy or whatnot. It's pure worship. As I realized the greatness of God and the nearness to me and his love for me, I naturally respond with deep inner worship for him. Thanksgiving and praise arise spontaneously as I become conscious of the goodness of God to me. That I know I do not deserve. It's so true. You know, I know Brother Frank, he gets up early, one of the first to speak at the 9:30 service part. And it's always that we don't deserve, and we don't. We don't. We should become more conscious of him as he speaks to us through various things. For me, it's nature. Okay? I'm retired, so I go fishing almost every day, weather permitting. Once in a while, I'll even go to Sussex County or Pennsylvania or something, you know, beautiful places. Latter part of the summer, I might get down to the Jersey Shore a couple times. Man, you know, your heart's just totally open, and the Lord is blessing you and showing you so many things. I said, why would anybody bring a radio to the beach? Man, you got these gulls flying overhead making the sweetest sounds. That's all the Lord. That's the Lord's music, you know? And I'll be fishing in, looking around, behind my shoulder for bears. Whatnot. That's another story. But it's so beautiful. And then, you know, I was blessed with a grandchild almost 3 years ago. And I remember when she was It's called a little bag of peanuts. Now she's a big sack of potatoes. And just holding her and seeing the little hands and looking at her eyes, and, you know, all that goes into like eyes and connection with the brain. And, man, how could there be an atheist in this world? I don't know. But all these things bless me. You know, I'll be fishing and beautiful blue heron flies overhead. Looks like a pterodactyl or something. The wingspan is like this. I'm like, oh man, thank you, God. That is, oh, your handiwork is incredible. You know? So we have all these things to remind us of. You know, it's all his handiwork, not that of man. If you'll please turn to Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 1 and 2. I might have a different translation than you folks. I'll let the other three at home. And this is the model prayer, the Our Father. And I don't believe the Lord put this in his word for us to say verbatim, although you could. You know, it's a great prayer. I mean, he scripted it, you know, so how could you go wrong? But it's a model prayer. It's to how we're to pray. It says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first part's addressed to God, worshiping God for who he is, what he's done for us. Hallowed means holy, okay? So we're not just running into the prayer room, the throne room of God per se, and bringing forth our laundry list of petitions and that. We're entering his holiness with reverence. Then comes the prayer for the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. We ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? We're asking him that his kingdom, which we know will be on earth someday, and we long for that. We long for that. The millennial kingdom, all the no sickness, no sin. It's just going to be a sweet time with Jesus. And give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a personal petition, okay? It's for our own needs. Give us this day our daily bread. For some, it means, okay, sustenance, regular bread that we would eat. I prefer rye. But also, it's the body of God, the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We partake of the bread. That's his body that we're thinking of at the time, okay? And so it could mean both. And then there's worship again. It closes with thine is the power and glory. It's a great prayer. It closes again in worship. Opens in worship, closes in worship. Excellent prayer. Third form is intercession, the type of prayer that can be considered work. And it kind of is, okay? Worshiping God is not work. Like I said, it's a joy, it's a blessing, it's a glorious time, okay? But when I intercede, then I must labor. I pray for my family, my friends, my neighbors, especially those who don't know Jesus Christ. I pray for the needs of those in the body of Christ. I'd like to get back to the other format instead of the calendars that we have now. I used to have the prayer calendar on that. Okay. But that's just me. There's so many needs, it's incredible. We can never run out of prayers, okay? And if you have, pray for me, okay? Now, if you have, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what the Lord would have you pray for, okay? We're Christians, we're walking in the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit so we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But the Holy Spirit will reveal different things to you too, not just keep you out of trouble. It's all encompassing. Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. Be personal with your prayers. Don't just pray for, say, the chapel as a whole. Say the people's names. Say, Heavenly Father, I bring Robin before you. I bring Audrey, I bring Nigel, I bring Eddie, I bring Mike. Okay, everybody that comes into your mind. And it's amazing when you forget people's names, under prayer you remember them. Because once again, you're spirit-led, you're spirit-filled. So be personal with your prayers. When you intercede for others, don't pray vague, general messages like, God save the world. I used to do that and think I was doing something. Oh Lord, save the world, let everybody go to heaven. That was my prayer. When you bring an individual before God, laying claim to that person, for Jesus, you begin to be specific in prayers. And like I said, the Holy Spirit, He reveals so much to you in prayer. We're leaving the house. We have a gentleman lives across the street. Great guy. Takes up two parking spots, but outside of that, he's a great guy. And he's walking with a Bible, and ordinarily, I see somebody with a Bible, I get giddy. I said, wow, man, this guy got a Bible here. You know, about if I see somebody at an airport or something. But he's a Jehovah Witness. Okay, so he's going to the Kingdom Hall. And he's involved in a cult. Okay? So as soon as I turn the key in the ignition, I'm praying for this guy. He's in a bad place. The problem is he thinks he's in a good place. You know, they're out there, and you have to admire them. They're knocking on the doors and everything else, and I think they're doing it for the kingdom of God. And, you know, the same with the Mormons. They send two young guys around with the starched white shirts and the backpacks and the name tags, and they even call them elders, so they feel good about themselves, I guess. And if you ever heard what they believe, oh my God. It's just pure science fiction. And so in praying for them one day on my doorstep, the Lord revealed to me a passage, and I believe it's Galatians, starting at verse 3. Now, they believe in this angel Moroni that supposedly gave their founder, Joseph Smith, these golden tablets, and really crazy. And I believe you have special glasses to interpret these tablets and whatnot, and you could be God of your own planet. I mean, I wonder why Mitt Romney didn't get elected. But Galatians 3 says, if I or even an angel from heaven comes down and gives you a different gospel than what we've preached, let them be accursed. So, you know, when you're witnessing to somebody, especially somebody in a cult, you kind of have to make sure you don't step on toes too much. And, you know, the Lord just put it to me and says, tell them, read them this scripture and tell them, maybe this is the angel Moroni they're talking about. And at least you get the wheels turning, okay? You plant that seed of doubt in them. I got off on a little tangent here, but it says Jesus promised in Mark 11, 22-24. We could go there, actually. Mark 11, 22-24. It says, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and thou be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And always remember, pray in Jesus' name. Okay? Our prayers always have to be ended, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. You know, thank God we don't pray to saints and statues and some medals and things like that. I came out of a background and we did that. Okay? My father actually had what was called a relic, supposedly a piece of some skin of a saint that was in like a locket. And whenever people he knew was going into operations or anything, he'd give it to them, thinking that this mumbo-jumbo so that it was going to heal the person, you know? And a lot of times when, you know, they will be healed, but because that was the will of God, not because you had this little metal object with a piece of skin in it, you know? And a lot of times talking to people that are still under this bondage, they'll say, well, I prayed to Saint so-and-so and this happened. I said, well, that's because God was going to bless you with that anyway. You should be lucky that he didn't take it away from you. But we need to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, you know. But we need to remember that. And we need to pray in God's will. See, this is the whole thing, the whole balancing act of prayer. Okay? Is it going to be answered? It will always be answered. Not when we want it, but it will be answered, and it might be enough. And when we pray in his will, we're praying the right way, not our will. Think of some of the things you prayed for that maybe if you had gotten, you might even be sitting here today. So when we pray in his will, we're doing it the right way. Jesus prayed in the garden, nevertheless, not my will be done. And this is the Son of God saying not his will. So we really have to pay attention to that. Okay? Not my will be done, but thy will. And this was Jesus praying. You know, we have to be persistent in prayer too. And Jesus prayed that three times. You know, we have the parable of the persistent widow and other examples to be persistent in prayer. There's a story, I believe it was Rockefeller or somebody, and they had some excavation going on for gold. And they're digging and digging, and, you know, it's costing a fortune every day with the crew and the power tools and whatnot, and they give up. Somebody else bought the property and had an engineer come in, and the engineer did a study and says, if you continue 3 more feet, and that's what happened. They dug 3 more feet, the guy became a billionaire, and that because the other guy before him, I think it was Rockefeller, I'm not sure, gave up. Okay? Common story, especially for parents. Praying for their children that they could get saved. Okay, I'm still in the midst of this. And I had two friends in work that were, they were saved and walking with the Lord for many years. But they both said to me that their mother had been praying for them for like 35 years to get saved. 35 years. You know? So that persistence of prayer. We need to be obedient in prayer. Luke 22:42. This is the key. In other words, Lord, here's what I want. Here's my desire. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You can't improve on that, like I said, if you're praying in his will. For the real purpose of prayer is never to get my will done, but his. Okay? I'm going to repeat that because this is so important. For the real purpose of prayer is never to get my will done, but his will. What is my will? You know? His will, the ramifications of answered prayer in his will is global. It's eternal. Mine is just for that minute or whatever, you know? His has eternal consequences. Ineffectual prayer. Sometimes we wonder why prayers are never answered. At least for a while. Like I said, every prayer is answered. Sometimes it's not. We think that our prayers isn't going to be answered, but we already have gotten the answer. It's not. But many prayers are ineffective due to sin. Say, go to Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. It's Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And it reads, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. And even King David in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I harbor iniquities in my heart, you will not hear me. Okay? So if we're harboring any sin, that direct line with the Father and even fellowship as well as prayer is stunted. Okay, it's cut off. So we come to him and ask for forgiveness and a repentant heart. That is why I never ask a non-Christian to pray for me. Many people say, I know I'm not living as I should, but I still pray. And I never say, don't bother. Okay? I believe the Lord's not hearing that prayer, but I'm not going to say nothing. Okay? But the only prayer that God will hear from these people are one of repentance. You could count on that. You could count on that. You know, you could have committed the most heinous crime, but if your repentance is from the heart and you ask for forgiveness, you will be forgiven. So these people that aren't walking with the Lord that say that they pray, and you got to tell them, pray for forgiveness. Pray that you would be established into a body of Christ, a good Bible teaching church. Another cause for ineffective prayer is an unforgiving spirit. So there are many reasons to keep our robes clean. Okay, so we could have that fellowship, that we could have that fervent prayer life that we desire. The privilege of prayer. Just think about that. The privilege of prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges God has given to man. It amazes me that I come into the presence of God, the creator of the universe, and talk to him. And he always listens. You know, some great old hymns like, just flew out of my mind. Sweet Hour of Prayer, okay? I come to the garden, he walks with me, he talks with me. Wow. It has to blow your mind, it really does. And he always listens. God bless you. At any time, no appointment necessary, okay? If you wanted to talk to a politician or something like that, if he would even talk to you, okay, you'd have to jump through hoops to get an appointment or anything like that. But the sovereign God of the universe, 24/7, no appointments necessary, and he wants you to do this, okay? He not only listens, but he wants me to come to him. He has promised to guide me and to provide for me. Many people treat prayer as a religious work they must do. Okay, that's not from the heart, that's from the flesh. They even put a time limit on it. They think by praying an hour they should be rewarded for talking to God. Imagine that. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And I say, never put a period on your prayer. Okay? I don't want to come off like a spiritual prayer giant, believe me, okay? A lot of these things I'm talking to my own heart. But when you wake up in the morning, before your feet hit your slippers or the floor or whatever, praise him. Just praise him. As you're going about your day, we have jobs. Well, you have jobs. Okay? And it's a busy life. It really is. But so many times the Holy Spirit brings something to your attention. And it don't have to be a long verbal prayer. Sometimes even a thought. Okay? God will honor a holy thought. And just oh Lord, bless so-and-so. You know? It's in my notes here already, but I'm going to expand on what I just said. How about you? You're brushing your teeth in the morning or some rudimentary thing, and a person that you haven't thought of in 20 years, maybe you went to high school, even grammar school, comes into your mind. Okay? That's the Holy Spirit. That person needs prayer. And don't limit your prayer to that person. Okay? It's going to be very short. You're brushing your teeth. You got to goggle, you got to do some other things. You're on your way out, okay? A simple prayer. Oh, Lord, bless him, save him, heal him and his family. You don't even know if this guy's alive anymore. But somebody in his family is. So I always add on, and their family. Maybe the guy's brother or cousin has cancer. We don't know. We don't know that person anymore. Do not pray in rain in vain repetitions too, as the heathen do. That's what Paul says. He calls them pagans. Prayer repetition is the prayer of pagans. Okay? We speak from the heart. And you're talking to God, use plain language, talk in your heart. He's your Father. Okay? And if you are on the plane, which I believe we all are here, okay? Because this is a Christian Bible teaching church, and I know a lot of you guys have been walking with the Lord for many years, okay? So once again, I'm probably preaching to the choir, but we need to talk from the heart. Like I said, we have that relationship where he is Abba Father. What does Abba mean? It means Daddy, okay? We didn't grow up, at least most people didn't grow up calling our father dad, rather father, okay? Oh, father, can I have 10 bucks for whatever? Okay, it's dad or daddy. It's ultra intimate. That makes it more intimate. And that's the relation we have with our Heavenly Father. It's one of intimacy, amen?
Amen.
What does Jesus call to us? Our personal Savior. Personal. He didn't save us as a group, right? He didn't all of a sudden the Holy Spirit descend like on Pentecost to Grace Bible Chapel or anything. He came to us individually, which makes it personal. Some examples of prayers. In 2 Chronicles, we have King Asa, who said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with them. Or with little, that have no power. In other words, it makes no difference to God whether you have a big problem or a little problem. Okay? And how many people, I got this once from a guy in work, and I know there's a lot of people that think this. They say, I got this going on, and it's no earth-shattering problem, but did you pray? I don't want to bother God with something trivial. People have this mindset. I'll even sit there at night and say, oh Lord, let the mess in. Really trivial things, but when you're doing it, you're coming before the Lord. You're interacting with Him. So even in little things, He wants to hear from you, okay? In 1 Samuel, chapter 14, 1 through 18, as the story goes, and I'm paraphrasing, Jonathan arose and saw Israel's enemies, the Philistines, camped in the distance. Most of Saul's army had deserted, and his own army was fast asleep. He told his armor bearer to wake up, look at all the Philistines over there, he said. It makes no difference if we have a whole army or just the two of us. If God is doing the work, that's all that counts. That is faith and prayer. Imagine a whole army, probably thousands. Okay, because the Philistine was a big nation. They wouldn't send out 100 men to war. There's probably thousands there. And him and his armor bearer defeated them. We have the prayer of Jabez, which is Chronicles 4:10. The first petition of Jabez was, oh, that thou would bless me. There's nothing wrong for asking blessings for yourself. Okay? Because you can't bless others until you're blessed. Amen? Okay. It's not wrong to ask for blessings. I said that. He also asked that God enlarge his coast. That's a good prayer for us. To widen our sphere. Bring people into our lives. I like to say a divine appointment. Where you talk to somebody. You tell them about Jesus. Okay? Like I said, I fish, but I'd rather be a fisher of men. And that's what we got to be. We got to look for them divine appointments. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, don't say nothing. I'm going to take care of this thing. But most of the time, He'll put words on your heart to say to somebody that don't know the Lord. When the Jews came into the promised land, it was in the hands of the enemy, most of it. Okay, it was occupied. When he asked, Lord, enlarge my coast, or actually help me to possess all that you have given me. That problem too, which was a sin of omission, okay, the Lord promised Israel from the Great Sea, all the territory going to the Euphrates River. That encompasses the country of Jordan, the country of Iraq, maybe parts of Saudi Arabia or Lebanon, Syria. I'm not exactly sure, but a lot more than they have. They're living in an area the size of New Jersey, okay? And are forced to share it with the Palestinians. And this is a sin that they're reaping now because they didn't possess all the land that God had given them. So why should you close the door on what God wants to do for you? You know, we're blessed, we're saved. Oh, thank God. But he has so much more for us, and we shorten his arms. Jabez also prayed that the Lord's hand might be with him, asking God to take control over his life. And that's what we need to do. Jabez's next petition was, keep me from evil. That sound familiar? Right in the Our Father? He continued that it may not grieve him. And we got to pray that it does grieve us when we go against the Word of God or the Holy Spirit or anything like that. Because if it doesn't grieve us, we're in a bad place. So what was the result of his prayer? God granted him all he prayed for. It's great to know that if we pray within his will, okay, we'll be granted this also. 1 John 5:14-15. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have petitions that we desire of him. Then the sin of prayerlessness, okay, it works both ways. The people of Israel wanted an earthly king, and when they got it, the Lord was mad at them. Okay? He wanted them to know this, that he was angry, and he was displeased with them. Through Samuel, he told them he was going to send rain on their wheat fields, not to be prosperous, to be in a flood. The rain came, and the people grew fearful. They cried to Samuel, and they said, we have sinned. It's the first step. Pray to God for us that we will not die, for we have added to our own other sins by asking for a king. Okay, Samuel interceded to the Lord. Everything was made right. But I still wonder why they went with a king instead of going back to the Lord. And just a few, some hints, okay? Like I said before, we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us, different people and situations that we need to pray for, okay? Another good thing, okay, we pray corporately here, and we pray personally in our prayer closet. I remember a couple years ago, a few members of the church, we went out and seen the war room. Do you remember that? Okay. So we need to establish a little war room, okay, and come against Satan. And very good, too, to have a prayer partner. Sister Audrey, okay? This is a prayer warrior, folks, okay? A lot on the plate, physical situations, family situations and that, okay? Her and I talk about once every 2 weeks or so on the phone, what could I pray for you? She'll come to me, oh, you know what's going on, listen, pray, and vice versa, okay? We need to establish that type of relationship with each other. Very helpful. Another thing, too, look into things to pray for, put on the news. Put on the news at supper time or whenever. And just bring all these things to the Lord. And you know, there's certain things I can't wrap my head around in politics or world affairs or something. And then my prayer has to be, Lord, I don't understand this, but you do. Okay? We need to pray too for our enemies. Nothing to pray for each other, our families, people we love, people we even like, people we don't even know. Praying for our enemies, not easy, okay? We need the Spirit for that, amen? I see on the news, a family was massacred by some wacko, crazy guy, I'm praying for the family left behind, and that, and then I pray for him, because there are prison ministries outside. I believe Nigel's son is involved in one, okay? There's prison ministries. David Berkowitz, he's a pastor in prison. And it's not a phony thing, because he can't do anything to get out of jail. He's there for life. He can never get paroled. So you pray for their soul that they could be saved. You pray for their family. When someone asks for prayer too, this I learned. Pray for them then and now. Okay? If they're not saved, okay, you get some strange reactions, believe me. Especially if you lay hands on them. If they're not saved, like, they ask you to pray, and it's a cool thing because they know you're walking with the Lord, so that's nice. You know, they respect you and that. The same person yesterday was using four-letter words in front of you, now comes to you for prayer, so that's a great thing. Pray for them right then. And they'll be bugged out, believe me. Oh, wow. Praying for me right here. He's not going to church to pray or something. And it lets them to see a formula of prayer, first of all. And then you can pray anywhere, anytime. Okay? And that you really like them. That you're going to step out of your comfort zone and pray for them. That goes a long way. Believe me. The thing that I don't understand is people that ask for prayer repeatedly for years, but they never want that relationship that they could pray. Okay? So we've got to pray for them in that capacity, that they get saved, and they could be an asset to themselves and others by praying, right? Pray for those in authority. Not easy to do. Okay? A lot of people don't like Trump. A lot of people didn't like Obama or who had Bush. Okay, but get beyond it and pray for that person. Pray for those in authority. Okay? That's what Peter says. Just a couple stories I wanted to share. Going a little over, I hope you don't mind. Okay? I was wondering if I had enough material to look at. I'm going over. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Okay? My kids were living in the Dominican Republic for about 15 years. It was very hard. I prayed very fervently that the Lord would bring them back, and they have. They're here, and the Lord brought them back. And, you know, eternally grateful for that. My daughter got married down there, and I show up about 3 days before the wedding. And she's in bed, and she had been in bed with a horrendous fever. She had dengue fever, okay? Symptoms of, like, malaria or anything like that, as transmitted through a mosquito living in the tropics. That's a big problem down there, as well as Zika and whatnot. And if it goes unchecked, it could lead to death. Am I correct, doctor? So, with that in mind, I get down there, and she's sweating, and 3 days before the wedding, and I'm like, this ain't jumping off. No way. No way. And so, I'm in intense prayer at a bedside for 3 days, and it was really good, too, because I got a chance to get close to her husband-to-be, because when I seen a concern that this gentleman exhibited, I had no problem giving my daughter's hand to him, okay? So even in adversity, some good things happen, and we learn a lot, and a lot of peripheral things go on with prayer, too, like this, okay? And the day of the wedding, she looks the same to me. She's lying in bed with the cold sweats, and I started saying, well, you know, if this is not going to be a marriage blessed by the Lord, Lord, step in here. Hey, you lose some money for the reception, and you know, it's an unpleasant thing. It's heartbreaking and that, but it certainly would beat a bad marriage, correct? So, all of a sudden, she looked pretty good. She said, Dad, I'm going to try it. I said, oh, I don't know. She says, I'm going to try. So she went to the chapel. They got married. She held up. And that night, they had a reception. And she was dancing salsa and merengue. Oh, Lord. Remind me of David when I brought the Ark of the Covenant back and how he was dancing and that. They were all over the place, and it was a great thing. Also in my life, years back, 13 years ago, I prayed that the Lord would send me a godly woman. Okay? And he did. I'm thankful. Okay? Also, a byproduct of my daughter's marriage is I got a little granddaughter. So, just totally blessed. I'm so glad I could share this. One more story, one more. I promise this is it. And you gave me some material, Lord. I belonged to a prayer group when I was still working in the post office. And we had a Bible study lunch hour, small group of us. And we had a prayer group, our second break of the day. And we had been praying for this man, Mike, that lived in Sea Caucus, okay? And I've never met him. He was a friend of one of the gentlemen praying. And he had big tumors all over his face. He was supposedly unsightly. He had a six-year-old girl. And the girl was repulsed and afraid of her father for a long time. And our prayer, of course, was healing. I didn't know his spiritual condition. You know, we prayed for that, of course. But we pray that this little girl would get up and give her father a hug and a kiss. And Mike passed away, and we got a report from his wife that a few weeks before he did pass, that she got up on his lap, hugged her daddy, and kissed him. And I tell you, if that's not one of the sweetest kisses in history, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the institution of prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you put it in our hearts to pray for each other, to pray for others, and to give you thanks and praise. Father, you're awesome, Lord. And let us always pray correctly in the name of Jesus and more importantly in your will. We give you all the praise and honor. We pray this in the mighty, praiseworthy name of your Son, our soon coming King, Jesus Christ. And all God's children said,
Amen. Amen.